So he pointed that out to her in the letter. But he said, it gives us the benefit of seeing Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. So in some temples, on this day, we're able to see her lotus feet. Otherwise not. Radharani is the Ladini Shakti of Krishna. Krishna has three internal potencies, Sandini, Samvit, and Ladini. The Sandini is his existential potency. It's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, his mother, his furniture and paraphernalia, those things which are his sustenance, are his Sandini Shakti. And the Samvit, or knowledge potency, is the knowledge that Krishna is God. That's the only real knowledge of Vedanta. When Krishna wants to feel pleasure, which he does because he's a person, then he expands in his Ladini Shakti and exchanges rasas with his devotees. So Radharani is the prime reciprocator of Krishna's pleasure energy. We say when Krishna wanted to enjoy pleasure, he expanded himself into Radharani. There's really no time in the beginning that he did this. So the word when is just a convention for the inconceivable fact that Krishna eternally exists with his eternal consort, Srimati Radharani, and they enjoy pastimes in Vrindavan forever. In the Krishna book, Prabhupada describes some pastimes of Krishna and Radha. He describes in the Rasa dance how Krishna left the Rasa dance with Radharani because he wanted to enjoy special pastimes with her. The other gopis became upset and tried to find out who is this special gopi who worshipped Krishna the best. In expressing that, there's one verse in Srimad Bhagavatam which contains the word aradito, which is the disguised form of the word Radha. And the special devotee who worships Krishna the best is Srimati Radharani. Just see how Sukadeva Goswami is so grave about using Radharani's name. It's said that if he did use it, he would go into ecstasy too much, not be able to speak the Bhagavatam. But I believe it's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in this verse, the glories of Radharani are come forth like the booming of a kettle drum as her name is revealed. So she's the special gopi always of the two chief gopis, Chandravali and Radharani. Radharani is millions of times better in qualities than Chandravali. Actually, Radharani is, as Krishna is the fountainhead, of all the incarnations and avatars, Srimati Radharani is the source of all the feminine energies that please Krishna. So she's all the gopis, or rather all the gopis are her expansions, and also the Lakshmis in Vaikuntha, and the queens in Dwarka. They all expand from Srimati Radharani. She's so great. Prabhupada taught us to worship her in one sense as mother. Call out to, in the Hare Krishna mantra, cry like a child calling for its mother. And Srimati Radharani will present our case to Krishna. And if Radharani presents our case to Krishna, this devotee has pleased me, then Krishna can't refuse granting you your desire, your prayers. So Krishna went with this special gopi, and they wandered in the forest together, while the other gopis trailed behind, enviously tracking their footprints. They saw where Krishna stopped and probably made a flower garland and put it on Radharani, and where his footprints turned into tiptoe while he was standing to reach some flowers on a high tree. But then Radharani became a little proud and said to Krishna, "I'm tired, you carry me wherever you like." And at that instant Krishna disappeared, leaving her alone, lamenting her misfortune. The other gopis then found her and immediately commiserated with her, as devotees do. And they all wandered together, looking for Krishna in the night. But although it's not specifically mentioned who this special gopi is, Prabhupada explicitly uses the name Radharani in the Krishna book during this pastime. He also writes about Radharani in the Krishna book in the section called the Brahmara Gita, where Radharani talks madly in the mood called Divyonmada, or madness, to a bumblebee. Uddhava has come as a messenger of Krishna to pacify the gopis. And while he's reading Krishna's message to tell them that Krishna is always with them because Krishna is everything, the message is written in a philosophical way, Radharani is standing apart, talking to a bumblebee, and addressing this bumblebee angrily, that you are a false messenger coming from a false master. Get away from me. Don't touch me. And she's mistaking this bumblebee for being a messenger from Krishna, and then she tells the bumblebee, don't take my words seriously. Don't go back to Krishna and tell him what I said. He'll be angry with me. This is the Brahmara Gita, where it's specifically mentioned that this gopi is Srimati Radharani. Then, of course, there's the connection between Srimati Radharani and Lord Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya. Lord Chaitanya is nothing but a combination of Radha and Krishna. I'm going to read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita about the three desires that Krishna had to taste his relationship with Srimati Radharani, desires which were unfulfilled in his form as Krishna, and which prompted him to descend as Lord Chaitanya. Amazing thing about this these passages in Chaitanya Charitamrita is that Krishna's Kaviraj gives us the thinking of Krishna. And he puts it in quotation marks boldly, proclaiming that these are the thoughts of Krishna in his deliberations as about these three desires. Briefly, the first desire is to know the position of Srimati Radharani, which he cannot taste because he's just in the contrary position. He's the male Krishna. It's very enviable, he thinks, if he could taste her position of worshipping him. So he would like to know what Radharani feels. And the second desire, which we'll hear expanded on, is to know what is the sweetness in himself that Radharani is attracted to. And the third desire is to know the bliss, the unbounded bliss that Srimati Radharani feels in her relationship with Krishna. There's one verse that describes all of this. Misplaced it. But I'll start with the first desire. I shall explain his first desire. Krishna says, I am the primary cause of all rasas. I am the full spiritual truth and I am made of full joy. But the love of Srimati Radharani drives me mad. I do not know the strength of Radha's love, with which she always overwhelms me. The love of Radhika is my teacher, and I am her dancing pupil. Her prema makes me dance various novel dances. Whatever pleasure I get from tasting my love for Srimati Radharani, she tastes 10 million times more than me by her love. This is why he wants to experience Radharani's love, because it's so much greater than Krishna's love. How could that be? Krishna's got infinite ability to love his devotees. He says to the gopis in general, the group of gopis, when he meets up with them after the rasa dance, that he's unable to pay their love for him. And so they've broken his promise to reciprocate evenly with all devotees. But specifically, he says that Radharani tastes 10 million more times more her pleasure than his pleasure. Just as I am the abode of all mutually contradictory characteristics, so Radha's love is always full of similar contradictions. Radha's love is all-pervading, leaving no room for expansion, but still it is expanding constantly. There is certainly nothing greater than her love, but her love is devoid of pride. That is the sign of its greatness. Nothing is purer than her love, but its behavior is always perverse and crooked. All glories to Radha's love for Krishna, the enemy of the demon Mura. Sri Radhika is the highest abode of that love, and I am its only object. I taste the bliss to which the object of love is entitled, but the pleasure of Radha, the abode of that love, is 10 million times greater. My mind races to taste the pleasure experienced by the abode, but I cannot taste it, even by my best efforts. How may I taste it? If sometimes I can be the abode of that love, only then may I taste its joy. So Prabhupada translates the Sanskrit word ashraya as abode. There are two terms, ashraya and vishaya. Vishaya is the object of love, Krishna, and ashraya is the abode of the love. She who feels the love for Krishna, the object. He wants to taste the abode of the love and not remain in the ashraya, not remain in the vishaya category. One Jewish lady once asked me, having some acquaintance with Chaitanya Charitamrita from her boyfriend, why couldn't God experience this love of Srimati Radharani? What's the big deal that he's crying out, how may I taste it? He should be able to do it if he's so full of ability. So I replied that he is able to taste it, and the way he does it is to descend as Lord Chaitanya. There's no inability on his part, but he has a particular pastime. Her question was foolish. Thinking in this way, Lord Krishna was curious to taste that love. His eager desire for that love increasingly blazed in his heart. This is one desire. Now please hear of another. Seeing his own beauty, Lord Krishna began to consider. My sweetness is wonderful, infinite and full. No one in the three worlds can find its limit. Only Radhika, by the strength of her love, tastes all the nectar of my sweetness. Although Radha's love is pure like a mirror, its purity increases at every moment. My sweetness also has no room for expansion, yet it shines before the There's a small purport I'd like to read. Krishna's attractiveness is wonderful and unlimited. No one can know the end of it. Srimati Radharani alone can relish such extensiveness from her position in the Ashraya category. The mirror of Srimati Radharani's transcendental love is perfectly clear, yet it appears clearer and clearer in the transcendental method of understanding Krishna. In the mirror of Radharani's heart, the transcendental features of Krishna appear increasingly new and fresh. In other words, the attraction of Krishna increases in proportion to the understanding of Srimati Radharani. She's compared to a mirror here. The mirror of Krishna's beauty is reflected in her heart, but it's not an accurate reflection. It's a reflection in which his beauty is increased because of her reciprocatory power. And knowing this, Krishna is very greedy to know how she appreciates him. In other words, the attraction of Krishna increases in proportion to the understanding of Srimati Radharani. Each tries to supersede the other. Neither wants to be defeated in increasing the intensity of love. Desiring to understand Radharani's attitude of increasing love, Lord Krishna appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. who manifests an abundance of sweetness greater than mine, which has never experienced before, and which causes wonder to all. Alas, I myself, my mind bewildered upon seeing this beauty, impetuously desire to enjoy it, like Srimati Radharani. This is a famous text Prabhupada quotes in Nectar of Devotion. It's from the Lalita Madhava by Rupa Goswami. It was spoken by Lord Krishna when he saw the beauty of his own reflection in a jeweled fountain in Dwarka. The beauty of Krishna has one natural strength. It thrills the heart of all men and women, beginning with Lord Krishna himself. All minds are attracted by hearing his sweet voice and flute. By seeing his beauty, even Lord Krishna himself makes efforts to taste that sweetness. The sweetness of Lord Krishna is unprecedented, and its strength is also unprecedented. Simply by hearing of such beauty, the mind becomes unsteady. This is a description of his second desire. Now please listen as I describe the third. These are very confidential things. Later, Krishnadas Kaviraj says that he really shouldn't speak of them. Share. You really shouldn't speak of them because they're so confidential, but if he doesn't, the world will be without them, and that would be the greatest pity. So he reasons, oh, I've made a discovery that's make me very happy. That if I speak of them, the camel-like non-devotees, they won't even understand it. So I can go ahead and describe it, because the pure devotees will appreciate it, and the dumb fools, they won't even take notice of it. And he goes ahead and boldly speaks. The conclusion of rasa is extremely deep. Only Swarup Damodar knows much about it. That's significant. Anyone else who claims to know it must have heard it from him, for he was the most intimate companion of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The love of the gopis is called Rudha Bhav. It is pure and spotless. It is not at any time lust. So I said briefly that the third desire was to taste the bliss of Radha. Now Krishnadas Kaviraj takes a little aside here and describes what that bliss is. It's Rudha Bhav. It's the amorous pastimes that they have, which appear to be like mundane sex. And the purport says, one should not confuse it with mundane sexual love, for it is pure and unadulterated love of Godhead. Our godbrother, Garuda Prabhu, has written a nice book, I think it's called The Dance of Divine Love, about the rasa dance, written up to academic standards, but written with the heart of a devotee, in which he proves that the love of Krishna and the gopis is expression of love of Godhead and is not mundane sex. Here's a famous verse. The desire to gratify one's own senses is kama, lust, but the desire to please the senses of Lord Krishna is prema, love. The object of lust is only the enjoyment of one's own senses, but love caters to the enjoyment of Lord Krishna, and that is very powerful. In the mood of Srimati Radharani, he also fulfilled his own desires. This is the principal reason for his appearance. Lord Krishna Chaitanya is Krishna, Rajendra Kumar, the embodiment of rasas. He is amorous love personified. He made his appearance to taste that conjugal mellow and incidentally to broadcast all the rasas. Oh, here's the original verse. Desiring to understand the glories of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love, and the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of her love, the Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with her emotions, appears from the womb of Srimati Sachi Devi as the womb appears from the oceans.